As you and I look around the society that we're in, it doesn't take us long to realize that we really do not agree with what's going on in the world. We don't agree with what's going on in our individual world. We're looking at worldly values that have been forced inside God's house. We're looking at the world values wanting to take over Christian convictions, to where Christ is moved aside and the way of the world moves in. It's already taken over our school systems, our whole educational system. We see it. But you know what's worse? We are now seeing the results of it. We're recognizing what's wrong. Our young folks are being trained to disrespect God, to disrespect personal responsibility. Oh, don't you worry, we'll take care of you. Instead of, let me give you a hand up and out to where you can take care of yourself. Let me share with you the way God intended for the family to function. Well, now, preacher, don't you get started in that. This biblical concept of a family, it's not lasting, have you noticed? Yes. Yes, I've noticed. I know why. It's hard. Do you realize how hard it is to put up with each other? Have you heard people talk about you got to work at a marriage? And you say you have to work at a marriage. What's to work at? You love each other. Everything is just rosy, going great. Where's the work? It's all fun. And then a week later, life hits you. You know, you're not going to agree on everything. As you get older, you're not going to agree on most things. But the love's still there. God looks at His church, and we are the bride of Christ. And we must, as the bride of Christ, look into our own heart and find out whether or not we realize that, yes, there's a cross to bear in walking your Christian faith. You got to work at it. You got to work at these relationships. And the Lord said, gonna do you a favor because I love you. I'm going to show you what true love is. Larry, I love you when you're right and when you're wrong. You notice I said God recognizes when I'm right and when I'm wrong. But He says, I love you. I'm going to fuss at you. I'm going to correct you. I'm going to chastise you. But I'm going to do it out of love. Because I want you to understand something. Relationships are important to the upkeep of any relationship. Marriage, friendship, even enemies. I have a lot of enemies, but I love them. Keep them at arm's distance, but I love them. You get what I mean? Because you never know when that relationship can change. Basically, what about the anti-Christian who has been watching you and one day comes to you and says, I'm a Christian now. Now you're my brother. Now you're my sister in Christ. What if you destroyed them and you had the ability to do it at one time? But because you cared about the human race, you didn't. That's the story of the cross. Boy, I pointed that every Sunday, don't I, Brother Randy? That's the story. I don't have a right to be saved, but I'm saved. I've done nothing to earn it, but I'm saved. I don't always act right, but I'm saved because Jesus saved me right. The first time. Don't need a second saving. Got it right the first time. I couldn't get it right any time. But Jesus did. God looks into the heart and He sees what you can be. He looks at your life and knowing that if integrity is sown solid within your life, that you will become what He wants you to be. I will make it through this life. Already have so far. I will make it through this life. But I'm going to come out at the end of my life battered, beaten, scarred, mutilated. Any of you notice their faces start to wrinkle? Good sign that it's going. What hope do you have? I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. And when I get to heaven, by the time I get there, I'm going to be looking good. I'll be looking just like Jesus wants me to look. So will you. So it's all in His hands, is it? Absolutely. I'm living the good life. I know my retirement's out of this world. I know my hope out of this world. And I am so proud that I've never put hope in this world or in what I can make or what I can have or what I'll have as I get old. You don't have any idea what you'll have when you get to that point. You could be multimillionaires and overnight be flat broke. I grew up dirt poor, but I can't picture ever going back eating possum again. I'll settle for the squirrels. But think of it. God looks at us and He says, I want you to realize something. It's not in your hands. Now you go ahead and plan and you do the best you can. But it's the blessings of God that makes it right. And God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the opportunity to choose a path of godly integrity. Now, I'm not going to make you accept me. I'm going to invite you to accept me. But if you say yes to me, I will, this is God telling you, I will be working on you throughout your life walk. We got a long walk. My walk's getting shorter the older I get. Young people, you got a long walk. God says, I want you to understand that you can walk with integrity. What does that mean? It means that when you walk with integrity, you hold your head up. Integrity simply means a solid structure. It means unity. It means honor. It means that you have a sense of that truthfulness, fairness, that you're solid. You're standing on a solid foundation. The building has integrity, meaning it's solidly built. You as an individual, you have integrity. It means God built you. But what's on the inside? What's on the inside of that building that makes the difference? What good if the building is solid, but the inside is corrupt? What does it benefit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So God says, I want you to choose that path of godly integrity. When? When you're pressured by the world. Kids are pressured by the world. Sometimes kids pressure the pastor, think he won't call him out when he's preaching, but he will. Sometimes we don't realize something. We're not in charge. I didn't create the term integrity, nor the definition of it. I don't have the ability on my own to even live by it. I don't. I'm broken. But God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to study. I want you to seek. I want you to find the right path, because when you're pressured by the world, I want you to choose godly integrity. Three Hebrews, You've heard me tell the story many times. You're going to hear it again. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Hebrew nation fell into defeat, captive by the Babylonian exile. Nebuchadnezzar was a vile individual king, but he had in his hands his slaves. Three of those slaves, actually four of them, were Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. Daniel goes to the lion's den. I'm going to tell you what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want you to know the heroes of Scripture are not the ones that were the toughest, but the ones who stood with godly integrity. How do you do that as an individual? Here are four keys. I want you to look at them. Number one, make up your mind. Man, that's not easy, is it? Make up your mind. White Castle or a steak dinner? Make up your mind. Make a decision. Some people have a hard time making up their mind to walk across the street or across a room. Make up your mind. The next key to godly integrity is risk your future. Risk your future. The world says you're going to fall. If you come against us, risk your future. I thought Christians didn't have to worry about risk. Christian, are you not a human being or not? You still got a human existence to finish. You're not all spiritual yet. Long way to go, or maybe a short one. But it's a trip. Number three, trust God. Talk about a foundation. Trust God. You know what I trust God in? Well, preacher, I hope everything. Listen to me. I know that God is not going to bless my own will. He's not going to bless that. Even though so often I've said, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. Bless it. You ought to hear the voice. Not on your life, Larry Pete. For if I bless your will, you're going to be in that ditch in a heartbeat. So trust God. Trust God for what? Trust Him for the path. Trust Him for His leadership that He's giving you. When God says, pay attention to me, pay attention to God. For He looks to our heart. He looks to our need. He looks to our hurt. He sees the real me down there. When God calls, just answer. Well, Lord, I don't know how to figure this calling out. God didn't tell me to figure my calling out. He said, answer the call. Trust me. You know what it's sewed up by? Do the right thing. Do the right thing. The right thing is never the easiest. The right thing, you can say it all you want. I want to do what's right. You can say it, do you mean it? Listen to me. Do you mean it? Or is that just a term or a phrase that you're using to make others around you feel good? Well, I want to do what's right. What's keeping you from it? I keep me from it. You keep you from it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego called in by King Nebuchadnezzar because they really, really messed up. From the world view, there happened to have been a 90-foot tall golden image, the big image, that they, along with all the other Hebrews, Egyptians, all of them, all the Babylonians, they were told to, at the time you hear the music play, and music plays an important part in all of these. Always, doesn't it? You will bend and you will bow to my golden image. And here are these three. These are young, teenage type 20s. To me, that's teenage. Young men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, chosen by God with integrity. And God said, stand for my word. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're a mess. You're going to mess up. Humanly, you're going to mess up. Stand for my word. you always stand for me. I know you're a mess. You're my mess. Stand for me. They were given one more chance. Nebuchadnezzar really needed them because they were brilliant. Finance and all. God knew exactly what he was doing with them. But they angered him. One more chance. When the king said one more chance, it had to mean he liked them. Because they had already been dead. If you will now bend and bow, you will be spared from the fiery furnace. But if not, you're getting pitched in the fire. The fire of the world. Nebuchadnezzar did not know God controls the fire. He's got his hand on his thermostat. The music started to play. Everybody's frightened out of their mind. Hits the deck. Three young Hebrews stand strong. They didn't bend, they didn't bow. Nebuchadnezzar lost it. Throw them in the fiery furnace. Heated 7 times hotter than it's ever been heated before. Heated up. And then the men are brought before him. I want you to listen to the keys that I just gave you, used by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel 3, verses 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, number one, make up your mind. We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Make up your mind. Let them rattle on. Let the world rattle on. You have been called to integrity, to stand the ground that God has given you. It's your little piece of history. But that piece of history will follow you throughout eternity. Stand for integrity. Make up your mind to do it. Such a threat. Such fear. Do you really believe they were frightened? They were human. How'd you like to be threatened to be thrown into a fire? I know Jesus. I'm not going to like it. I'm going to be trembling and shaking. I've never been burned up before. But I know it's got to be bad. Right? Next, risk your future. Oh, listen to him. If we are, here it is, thrown into the blazing furnace, even if we are, doesn't matter. They risk their future. Can't you imagine the three of them talking to each other? And listen, we're human. I keep trying to get that across to us. We keep thinking all of the personalities of Scripture, all the disciples and all of the prophets and all of the others, we keep thinking and thinking and thinking in our own mind. You know, they were special. They were special in God's eyes, but let me tell you something. They were as human as you and me. I doubt that me or you would even get along with most of them. We'd be yap, yap, yapping right back at them. What made them special was the integrity that God had placed within them. They had a job to do. They had a calling to stand for. They had a little spot. That's your spot. Right around your feet. Just draw a little circle there. That's your part. It's your part that you're going to play in this world. Now, if you play that part with integrity, that integrity is going to go with you throughout eternity. Well, what about all my mistakes? Jesus is going to shine you right up and then present you. The bad stuff's going to be gone. You're only looking good when you're presented to God the Father. And that little bit, well, you know, I only stood for integrity this time. That time counts through eternity. Not a long time, isn't it? And as God was dealing with their heart, can you not imagine what Satan was telling them? Come on, boys, bend the knee. That's all you got to do. You can serve your God. Just bend the knee, save your life, and oh, I can hear it today. Oh, you know, you can repent later. You know, Jesus will understand. Go ahead, give up that little ground of integrity. Number three, he'll listen to them. Trust God. Here's what they said. The God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hands. Oh, you pay attention there. They caught it. He will rescue us from your hand. Meaning if we burn up, we're with him. We still got it made. Oh, king, we trust God. But they're talking to a human king with a hot furnace. And it looks like the whole world they own. But they forgot about the God who owns all creation. This planet's a very small rock. God owns all the big ones too. And then, just do the right thing. Listen. But even if he does not. You got that? They knew that. They didn't understand what God's plan was. They just knew they were going to serve God. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. We don't know exactly how God's going to end this story. I don't know how God's going to end the story of my life. But I do know who's in charge of it. And the only thing God commanded me to do is to make sure I don't change his story. You preach what I've written, Larry. You don't need to write anything else. You don't add to, you don't take away. What I've given you is my word. Preach it. Teach it. And I'll be with you. For those of you who don't know the end of that story, I want you to know it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into that fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar, there ever was a time for somebody to lose their mind. And yet, from the writings, it seems that there was some excitement within him. Captain, did we not throw three men into the midst of this fiery furnace? Can't you picture them wiping their brow? The fire was so hot that those who pushed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into it were consumed by the fire. Yes, King, we did three. And then Nebuchadnezzar says, but I see three men walking. But I see four men walking. Free. Loosed. Jesus said that, I think, at a grave, didn't he? Loose him and let him go. Lazarus, when he raised him from the dead. They were bound into the midst of the fire. But now there's four walking down there. And the sign of the fourth is that of the Son of God. Oh, Jesus has always been in the picture. Never been a time when Jesus hadn't been around. He's walked in the fiery furnaces from the beginning of ages to pull those out who walked with integrity. Be sound in your faith. Be solid in your trust. Know the one in whom you trust. I serve Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. As a human being, I'm a mess. In his eyes, I'm a saint. And no fiery furnace can consume a saint of God. Can't work on sainthood, Brother Randy. It's all in who you know. He says, when you say yes to me, you are my child. Are you a child of the King? You can be. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? You can. He said, all you need to do is invite me to come in. Call on me and I will be there. And I will give you that integrity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your name that you remain in control. That it is through your direction for our life that we have hope. That it's through us depending on you, we have the strength for each step. Oh, direct us now, Father. to the ministry you've called each of us to, reminding us, Heavenly Father, there's nothing too small to be done for your kingdom, and nothing so great that you can't be called to do that too. We ask now, Father, for your blessing upon each heart, for your presence within each spirit, to give us a direction to stand strong with integrity for your truth, no matter what the world brings our way. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.